Please be seated. Amen. Lord, we thank you that we can come and gather together and look into your word. And so thankful that you would reveal things to us we'd never otherwise know. And Lord, we just thank you for your love. We just thank you for touching us. And we pray you just open our hearts to see the truth of what you have to tell us through your scripture. Lord, anoint me that only speak words of the Spirit, and pray you'd open each heart to receive of the Spirit. So we give this time to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen. Well, you see, the title of the message is, We See Jesus. We See Jesus. And we'll start off here with Hebrews chapter 2, verse 5. Chapter 2, verse 5. For it was not to angels that God subjected the world to come, of which we are speaking. Now, as you know, we're going through the book of Hebrews, and with a couple of messages, I was the one to joke Woods. I wasn't, but I'm going to. The best message I ever gave in Hebrews was last week. It's gone. Not recorded. It's in the... Okay, that was a joke. Okay, God forgive me. I was just messing with everybody. But we have a Hebrews. We're going through it. And it is interesting that, you know, Hebrews is for everybody. It's for the whole church. But it really does help us to understand that the audience that who the author of Hebrews is writing to was the Hebrews. He's talking to the Jews. And says, for everyone. But the Jews had a special quality, okay? They knew the Old Testament. The ones that were religious, they knew the Old Testament. They understood the Messiah, and they were looking for him. So they had a basis. And so Hebrews is actually written to them. So the writer is assuming a level of knowledge from these people. And as it comes out, and it fascinates me as I was going through this, there's no like, hey, how are you doing? How are the kids? And say hello to the church. It doesn't, just wham, hard theology. It just takes you to the depths of it. And so it's a fascinating book as we read that. But also, it's like in sharing and preaching, you know, it's like, gosh, there's a lot of stuff here. And the people want to leave before 1 o'clock. And so, you know, how do you handle all this? But so what we're going to look at this morning as we're going through is we're going to look at Hebrews chapter 2, verses 5 through 18. And 5 through 18 is packed with theology, just packed with theology. And as you look at the theology, you maybe think, well, what's the practical application? I mean, if you just, is it just theology? How does it apply? And so we see in this section, in the last verse of this section, God says, basically what he says, by understanding this theology, we will know that Jesus is able to help us in life now. Okay, so you back up. What is the author of Hebrews saying? Here's some deep theology. And if you understand this theology, if you can work through it and understand this theology, you're going to see how Jesus can work today. So it's like, okay, we need to pay attention to what God has to say to us, particularly through the Hebrews. Now, the Jewish people. Verses 5 through 18 are in and of themselves stunning. They really are stunning. And they explain the ministry of Jesus and how his suffering and death perfected the work of God. Okay. It really says that. He says, this is how Jesus perfected the work of God. I thought, well, God can't just pull things off on his own. You know, he goes, no. Jesus perfected the work of God. So you see, he's bringing something together, communicating something that is very interesting, that has an impact on us. Now, I'm not going to quote all these verses in here to be sensitive and not stay here till 1 o'clock, okay? But, so please, I ask you to take time for yourself, read the scriptures, and examine it, and see how the Lord speaks to you. See how the Lord speaks to you. Now, first of all, what we see here, what they're telling us, is that we see that God did not subject the world to angels. You think, well, I never thought about that anyway. The Jews did. They did think about it. They're very aware of the angels, very aware of experience with angels, very understanding of the angels, okay? So it's an importance that, like, no, God didn't. Yes, the angels are true, but he didn't subject the world to angels. That's what that verse says. He subjected the world to man. Man was in charge. Now, that's what it says. Now, so we see that man was created to rule over this world. Like I say, go back and read what it says. Go back and read what it says. And very clearly, that's what it says. Now, also, this is what it says. In verse 8, y'all with me. Man created the world. Man is in control of the world. Verse 8. And then it also says, verse 8 says, God put everything, direct quotation, God put everything in subjection under his feet and left nothing outside his control. But, because Adam fell, man fell. All his children fell. Adam fell, man fell. So verse 8 continues and says, but we do not see everything in subjection to man, do we? See, he's taught me, he's bringing it up. We don't see everything subjected to man, which means man failed his intended purpose at creation. Right? Didn't work out. Man failed, and verse 9 continues. Man failed. Verse 9 says, but we see Jesus. Now look at the context. You got to follow the context. You have to follow the context. Man failed, but we see Jesus, the man who didn't fail. Jews, we see Jesus, the man who didn't fail. And we see Jesus with everything subject to him. Want to catch fish? Throw out your net. And not issue. Have a storm? Stop. Jesus behaved like man was supposed to behave. That's what it's saying. Wait a minute, Wallace. What? Read it. Read it. Read it for what it says. Now, there's, and now with the connection of how he created man. By the way, our book, Ian Thomas, really brings this out that we're in this book study. I encourage you to come, encourage you to get the book and look at that fascinating book we're looking at. I mean, really fascinating. So, man failed, but we see Jesus. So we know what man's supposed to be. See, I know y'all thought man was supposed to behave like me. Why are y'all laughing? I mean, like in unison, you're laughing. Because it's funny. See, no, we have a picture. Jesus behaved like man was supposed to behave. Jesus did. So, now here's a huge doctrinal point. Huge doctrinal point. Man failed, but we see Jesus. That's huge. And we need to understand that to understand the full ministry of what God intended for Jesus. You see what I'm saying? Now, Jesus was the perfect man. All people, he was fully God and fully man. How could he be the perfect man? Because he was fully God. See, okay. Okay. So you see this dynamic working through who Jesus is as the deity of Christ and Christ is God. But they looked at this man. And because he is fully God, he would show us how man is intended to behave. So there's the lessons that's coming through here. Now also we see this is the reason I want you to read this. Because if you're sitting here, you think, he's making that up. No. When you read the scriptures reveal truth. And then we stand on that truth. Okay, Jesus, through his own, now this is the flow. Okay, this is the flow. Jesus, through his own suffering, experienced every pain we will ever experience as man. He experienced it. Jesus did what no one else could do. He then became sin and experienced death as a man. As a man. See, thus, and I, if you're like me, you go, you've struggled with this, but all of a sudden you say, well, no, this kind of makes sense because he became sin and experienced death as a man. Thus, he completed God's perfection. And why don't you hold on to that? Because that's what this says. This is what this says. Jesus, God's perfect. I agree. But then it says here, Jesus completed God's perfection. See, without Jesus, this perfection of God can't happen. Can't happen. Oh, we believe in Jesus and something else. Mm-mm. Perfection was in Jesus. Oh, you know, I believe in Jesus. He's a good teacher. He's not God. No. He's perfection. He completed God's perfection. You know, people, all these religions, everybody can be God but Jesus. You know, and God said, no, Jesus is God. Now, so this is what all this is saying. This is what they're coming. Now, again, I know I'm just beating a drum here, but the Jews are reading this. They're going, the Jehovah, they're religious, you know, and this is the perfection is in Christ. I mean, the Messiah you're looking for is him. So you have this whole picture. Now, it goes on to say that, I remember, I'm reminding myself, but I'm reminding you also. It's like, no, you need to go to this theology. Because if you understand this theology, the last verse says, then you'll know he can help you. Well, God can't help me. Well, you probably think that because you have lousy theology. See? I mean, that's just what it's saying. Anyway, so it goes on and he says this. Okay? Jesus, who, he uses the word sanctify, which means sets apart. But Jesus who sets apart, okay, Jesus who sets apart, and those Jesus set apart. Do you see the connection? I mean, it's huge. Don't skip this. Jesus who sets apart, and those he sets apart. Jesus who sets apart, and those Jesus set apart, now have one source, the Father. Jesus and those he set apart on the same level. They're on the same level. What he's saying here, both the one who makes people holy and those who are made holy are of the same family of God. Do you see what he's saying? Jesus, Son of God, and what he did, we become sons of God, like Jesus. But he's God, we're not. He's man, we are. And that's the reason he became man. So we'd be one family with him, like him for all eternity. And in this life, if we work He works through us, we'll behave like God wants us to behave as part of His family. Okay? Now, we're real good. We just do what we want to. So, you know, we go through. So God will work all that out. But you see this. So, y'all with me? I'll get judged. Look what he says now. You're with me in the same family. You see this, the one who sits apart and those who sat apart, one family. Then listen to what he says here. It's just crazy. Therefore, because of what I just said, therefore, Jesus is not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters. You see what he did? One who sets apart those, now he's not ashamed of us. He's not ashamed. We're of one family. He's not ashamed to call us brothers and sisters, living together with us in relationship for all eternity. Whoa. Now, I'm good with this for all eternity. You know, it'll happen. But it's like, what the verse says is now. When did eternity start? You know, well, now, but you accepted Christ. But you're in turn. So he goes, Jesus walked as a man on earth, and he showed you, and God showed you what a man should behave, and now he sets you apart. He goes, oh, man, I should kind of act like Jesus, maybe. You know, he's, what do you mean, maybe? That's why I came. That's why I came. So here you have this whole dynamic going on. Now, note Jesus created a relationship with us. You know, we have this, well, I accepted Jesus. And I say that to people. But what this says is like he did it. He made the relationship. He created the relationship. And since Jesus created that, I know when you see the flow, you think, oh, that's why there is a flow, you know? And don't, you know, just pick and choose. Because Jesus created all things, he created all things. In the beginning, he created. We already went that two messages ago. He created all things. Since Jesus created all things, he is the one who reconciles all things. Hey, Jesus, why are you reconciling all things? I created it, and now I'm going to fix it because I created it. See, he has authority to fix it because he created it. I'm going to fix it the way it's supposed to. And I'll mess this whole thing up. I'm going to fix it. That's what he's saying. So the verse says, I have this one. You can read this one, from Hebrews 2:10. But read it in context of what I just said. For it was fitting. For it was fitting that Jesus, for whom and by whom all things exist. Why do all things exist? Because of who? Y'all scared to say it? Because of who? Jesus. It was fitting that Jesus, for whom and by whom all things exist, to bring many sons to glory. Who are the sons? The brothers and sisters that accepted Jesus as their Savior. See, so it was fitting for him, by whom all things exist, to bring many sons to glory. I created it, and now I'm going to bring you all with me. See, it's like, gosh, you know, I mean, if I'm a Hebrew reading that, I'm really religious when I'm thinking, you know, hey, maybe he is the Messiah. I mean, man, this guy's, you know, got a lot of stuff going on with him here. Note the connection between creation and salvation. Note the connection between creation and salvation. See, this is what makes evolution hideous. Jesus goes, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? I did this. He became like creation. I'm going to become like a man who slithered out of the water from a monkey into a man.
I'm going to become one of them. No, I created them in the image of God, and I become what I created. See, the theology keeps your mind clear about the lies of the world. Now, and the world just insidiously, you know, if you got this, it's, what are you talking about? What are you talking about? Now, it goes on to say that Jesus died to bring sons to glory. Again, repetition. Who are the sons that he's bringing to glory? That's why he came. That's why you're sitting here. That's why you're looking at this. If you don't, it's a waste of time. It's a total waste of time. Jesus, by his suffering and death, would be identified with man. Now, I've heard people say, well, why did he become a man? Why didn't he do this? Why, you know? And there's good questions, and you'll talk in circles. But if you know the Scripture, the Scripture tells us. See, now I'm not, I mean, you got to kind of look at it and think about it, but it tells us. See, by suffering and death, Jesus identified with man. He became man. Hey, he's man, that's cool, blue ribbon. No, he became man. He identified with man. And as you walked along, you know, he was like man, functioned like man, talked like man, behaved like man. See, and I always at first said, but he really did some big things like some miracles. He said, you know, he said, I only do what the Father tells me. Why did he do a big miracle? Because the Father told me. You know what the Father told me? I might do a good miracle if he told me. I can fake you out maybe, but if he told me, something different. So you got that whole thing. Therefore, identified with man, Jesus said, okay, you with me? Jesus identified with man. Now he says something. Look at Hebrews 2:13. Behold, I and the children God has given me. That's what it says. Behold, the children and God has that God has given me. You see who he is? He identified. Look at me and my children. Identify. We're one. We're one in relationship for all eternity. You know, I'm going to use myself because I don't want to pick anybody here. Hey, like God, I'm one with you for eternity. Me and Wallace are together, one for eternity together. Now, Wally is messed stuff up big time. He's really a mess. I know he's a mess. But like we did communion, I forgive him and he's cleansed my blood. So we'll work with him. See, that's how I get there. Now, he did it because he's God. I mean, that's a help. You know, I get there because I'm forgiven and covered by his blood. And I can't be good enough to be as good as Jesus. I can't. Always somebody has somebody. Well, what about so-and-so? They're so sweet. My grandmother's the sweetest person in the world. Did you know her when she was 16? No. I mean, I'm just telling you that people go through. They're not perfect. They have problems. They have all sorts of things. And because they are with fallen man. They have fallen. That's the reason God says, I'm going to come and I'm going to fix it. Jesus, I'm going to fix it. And Jesus makes God's vision complete. God's purpose complete. And so then, behold, I and the children God has given me. Oh, by the way, I haven't mentioned all these are quotations from the Old Testament. The Jews knew exactly what he was saying. He goes, that's not a new verse. No, that's Jesus is saying, behold, he's taken it. It's him. He's taken it at him. Okay, so here we go. Jesus is talking about us. Note the relationship. We got it? Note the relationship. Okay, then he says this. You got to know the relationship. Then he says this, because of this, behold, I and the children God has given me. Then in Hebrews 2:14, it says this, look at overhead. Since, because he just said this, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood, Jesus himself likewise took of the same flesh and blood. He identified with us. No, he's a big honcho in mankind. That's not who he identified with. He identified with us, like us, in every situation. The only power that made him different from us as a man is his relationship with God and being God. But as man, he wasn't any different. He wasn't any. Probably wouldn't have been noticeable as a man. They say, you know, it talks about in the Old Testament, he was nothing to look at. He was nothing to look at. So well, here we have, let me read it again. Because this is what, therefore, since therefore the children share in flesh and blood. This is who we are. It says, gosh, Jesus himself likewise partook of the same flesh and blood, that through death he might destroy the one who had power over the death, that is the devil. I win spiritually because I'm the perfect man. Temptation. Satan comes and talks to Jesus, the man. He goes, fall down and worship me. I'll give you this. He goes, no, not doing it. See? Jesus obeyed God, went to the cross, and died. And he lost. He lost. You see what? But Jesus had to go to the cross and die for him to lose. For us to go to heaven. My sins, Jesus became sin. You know whose sin Jesus became? Mine. So I can stand forgiven before God, righteous, because Jesus became my sin and I got his righteousness. So it's like it's amazing to look at this. Now, Jesus shared flesh and blood with his children. He came where we are. Through death, Christ destroyed the power of death. Jesus purposely did this for me and you. All God's people, amen. Okay, now listen. Now listen what happens. Now listen what happens. Look at Hebrews chapter 2. Verse 16, look at all we see, all that we God has just revealed to us, that we can understand. Now, this is what's revealed to us. Then he says this, Hebrews 2:16, for surely it is not angels that Jesus helps, but he helps the offspring of Abraham. Now, if any of you in Scripture, Galatians, Romans, and like that, it says very clearly that we are children of Abraham by adoption. Okay, we're going for the 2 o'clock level of the message this morning. Okay, to talk about being adopted children of Abraham. Okay, but the Jews knew who Abraham was, knew all about him, and knew that they were his offspring. They knew that. In fact, they really got mad at Jesus. John the Baptist. I love John the Baptist. They upset John the Baptist and says, the Pharisees says, don't you say, you know, we're like Gentiles or something. We're children of Abraham. John the Baptist said, God can make out of these stones children of Abraham. I mean, that's kind of really can irritate a lot of people if you say something. But the point is, they understood. They understood. He doesn't help angels. He helps the offspring of Abraham. Not just the Jews, the Gentiles. All people who have trusted him. He helps them. He helps them while they're here on this earth. He doesn't help them in heaven. I mean, I think it's going to be cool. He helps. Right? He helps. The offspring of Abraham are us. Jesus helps us. This is where this whole thing is going, trying to convince these people that Jesus helps us. Helps us. Of all creation, Jesus helps us. This is me. You always have to watch it when I get off like this. But anyway, well, there's aliens and there's angels and God created this. And there's this coming from this and this is happening. You know, what do you think? I don't know. Don't care. And then that's, well, you're not very scientific. But you know what I do know? No, who God's helps is us through Jesus. There's only one of me and one of Jesus. Except, you know, I'm just telling you, not happening. It's not happening. I mean, we got millions of angels. I mean, they're flying all over the place or doing whatever they do. But, Wallace, how could you be so adamant come up with that conclusion? Because of this verse. That's right. God helps little green men on Mars. And if they're green men on Mars, he ain't helping them. You see what I'm saying? It's just I went off the last week about straws. Just because someone told us nobody's going to use straws. Couldn't go to the restaurant. They wouldn't give me a straw. You know, I had to bring my own straws to the restaurant. But, and then they said, we're just joking. But that didn't bother me. What bothered me is everybody who believed them. Flat believed them. And I'm sitting here and I don't know nothing. I said, I'm just going, y'all nuts. I don't know who said it or what. That ain't happening. They're not happening. See? And of course, they couldn't keep the lie going, so they had to come back. Doesn't work. See, all I'm saying with all of this, when you're in the scripture and see what God says and what he's doing, you go, you have confidence. You're not worried. You're not worried. You see what I'm saying? You're not upset. You don't follow everything that comes across. The scripture will tell you what God is doing. I mean, if you don't believe the scripture, that's fine. Okay. I mean, that is perfectly fine. But if you believe the scripture, we need to stand on it. Okay. Now, it's coming to this. Jesus helps us. Now, here's the crux of the whole center of Christianity, salvation, and everything. Right here is the whole crux of it. Making the point. And I've said before, it's like you can't pick and choose the scripture and what you believe. You believe the whole thing or you don't believe any of it. I mean, a lot of things I don't understand, but I believe it all. And if you believe it all, then all of a sudden things change. Things change. If you don't believe it, fine. That's good. People believe what they want to believe. But it all comes down to this. Therefore, you know, you're going to start, therefore. Why is Hebrews using therefore? Why is he using, you tell me, I've told you so many times, y'all tell me. Why is he using therefore? Because of what he just said. He goes, therefore. If I just came up to you and said, therefore, what'd you do? What do you mean, therefore? You didn't say nothing. And you're saying that already. See, I just, therefore. No, if I talk about something, I go, therefore. Well, I need to pay attention to what he just said. So what the Bible goes, therefore, you better pay attention to what I just said. Therefore, you better pay attention to what I just said. Therefore, Jesus had to be made like his brothers in every respect, flesh and blood. For him to pull this off, he had to be flesh and blood. This tells you why. To do what God intended to do, to work salvation for mankind, Jesus had to become flesh and blood. So that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest. If you have a Bible, circle high priest. We're going to jump back to that. Okay? Jesus had to be made like his brothers and sisters. In every respect, flesh and blood, so that he might become a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God to make propitiation for the sins of people. Off the top of your head, what does propitiation mean? I got saved with this verse. I got saved with this word. I got saved. I read the Bible the first time I saw this word, and you know what my thought was? What in the world is this? I never seen this word. All my buddies I hang around, they ain't never used this word. Never saw it, never heard it. I looked it up. They said, it's really easy. It's a verb. It means like atonement and expiation. I said, the Webster's Dictionary doesn't want me to know what this verse means. I don't know what any of this stuff means. But then, whatever propitiation is, Jesus is it. I don't know, skip it. No, you're skipping Jesus. Jesus is propitiation. And when I got saved, it says God gave, this is how it says, it's Romans 3:25. It says God gave Jesus as a propitiation. What? What does that mean? What does that mean? And I didn't know. But I had the feeling that I think it's important because Jesus is one. You know, so I looked. I just didn't like being dumb, so I just looked at what is propitiation. He is one. He had to be made a man so he could be high priest and propitiation. Now, pause. Drum roll. Jump up and down, holler. Here's something huge, and we're going to see it more as we go through, Hebrews. Please note, Jesus is the high priest. Do you know what a high priest is? Jesus is one. I mean, he's a propitiation and a high priest. And you know who understood this? You know who understood this? The Jews. They knew exactly who the high priest was. They knew exactly what propitiation was. They knew. See? So, I'm going to share something with you. Now, this is me talking. This is me talking. You want to understand the Old Testament? Do you really want to understand the Old Testament? Every place where you see the high priest mentioned in the Old Testament, mark it out. Just a little mark. Just mark it out. You with me? Leviticus. We joke about going to Leviticus. Every time you see high priest, just mark it out and write Jesus. The high priest is the picture, the Old Testament picture of Jesus. Every place it says high priest, write Jesus. Now, by doing that, you will be able to understand the Old Testament because you'll start seeing that this is what Jesus did. This is Jesus' ministry. This is what Jesus does. And all of a sudden, Leviticus, and I'm serious, becomes interesting. They dressed Jesus like this. Why? Because everything had a piece of ministry. Then Jesus did this. Why? Because that's what he does in heaven. That's his ministry. All of a sudden, this is what Jesus is doing. The high priest in the Old Testament is Jesus. Amen? It is Jesus. We're going to see someplace when we're getting on into Hebrews, and it says this. You look in the Leviticus, and you got sacrifice there, sacrifice. I mean, have any of you looked at Leviticus? I mean, you just want to pull your hair out. Just sacrifice, sacrifice, sacrifice this, and killing this, and burning this, okay? Okay. Sacrifice, sacrifice. In Hebrews, there's a couple of places, and Jesus goes, and that's what he says, I am the sacrifice. All those sacrifices are Jesus. Sacrifice the lamb. Draw a line through it. Put Jesus. You see what I'm saying? It's a grain sacrifice. What is it? I'm not sure, but it's Jesus. Now read it. Like grain is crushed where it's just powder. That's how much Jesus suffered. He was just crushed till he was like powder as he took our sin. He became sin. Aren't you getting excited about Leviticus? Jesus, he's the high priest. He's the sacrifice. Okay, so here we got all of this. The Old Testament high priest is a physical picture of Jesus and his ministry. In the Old Testament, the high priest represents the people, High priest represents the people before God. He's in between, if mediator. The high priest makes atonements for the sins of the people in the Old Testament. Jesus is the high priest. Jews knew exactly what he was saying. In the New Testament, the high priest Jesus makes atonement by becoming propitiation. Is propitiation important? In the New Testament, Jesus is the high priest, makes atonement by being the propitiation. So here it all comes and funnels to one of the most important words in the scriptures, propitiation, which means the sacrifice that is necessary to forgive sin and turn away divine wrath. That's what it means. It's a sacrifice that turns away divine wrath. Jesus is the sacrifice that turns away divine wrath, that makes me acceptable to God. If you believe that, you believe that, that He is able. He's able to help you if you believe that. He's able. If you don't believe that, you're just blowing in the wind. Making stuff up. Making stuff up. Make a new religion. Call it Christianity. It's not. It's not. It's not. So you go, oh my goodness. Forgive sin. That's a twofold meaning. Forgive sin and turns away the wrath of God. It's twofold. It is twofold. I read one. This is a scholar. Just warn you about commentary. It's my opinion. And he says, I just can't believe that turning away wrath is part of what they mean by propitiation. It's just the forgiveness. First of all, I never use that commentary ever again. No, it's both. It is both. The definition is both. And God, and Jesus was both. He was both. Now, Jesus reconciled us to God and is with us in every situation. Are you with us? Now, it's coming together, okay? It's coming together. Now look at 2:18. Now look at 2:18. For because Jesus himself have suffered. Now, I just want you to stop. Why did Jesus suffer? Jesus didn't suffer. None of this is true. Nonsense. It's nonsense. Well, it doesn't kind of fit my feely-touchy side. It's nonsense. You need to understand the depth of what Jesus did to be able to understand the depth of what he's done for you and the depth of what he will move to help you. Because Jesus himself has suffered when tempted as a man. You know what? Just like all of you. Just like all of you. For because Jesus himself has suffered when tempted as a man, he is able. I'm going to do something. I never do this. I'm going to do something. I'm going to do it until you do it with me. I want you to say, he is able. Right now. He is. It is. For because Jesus himself has suffered when tempted as a man, he is able to help those who are being tempted. Whatever situation we're in, Jesus is able to help. To help. Scripture. Because we're wrapping up here, because Jesus suffered, he can help us. The cross is really important. His suffering in life is really important. His whipping, you know, beforehand is important. Because Jesus suffered, he can help. Jesus experienced pain and suffering. He was not only ready to suffer, he actually suffered. Jesus suffered every temptation and trial we will suffer. See, that's the reason you need to know this. That's what this is saying. If you don't believe this, now you go ahead and read it, you know. But it's a scripture. It's a scripture. Here we are. Okay, here we are. Why all this information? Okay, to summarize it, this is why. This is now, this is why the author wrote this the way he wrote it. I mean, there's all sorts of stuff in here. But this is why he wrote it. This is the reason he wrote it. Jesus, who has experienced pain, suffering, trials, and temptation, will empower us and help us through everything that life throws at us. We're immovable. We're immovable. And that's one of the reasons kind of the unbelieving world will hate the church, because we're immovable. We're immovable. See? Absolute truth. We know, well, there's a hymn for this, we know we have a friend in Jesus. Why? He goes, why? Because he had behold me and my children. See, I mean, he, oh, Jesus, let's praise him, which I think, you know, I kind of do that anyway. But that's not what he presents to us. He said, no, we're together in this. We're together in this. Here, we are together in this. Well, Jesus is going to come back and destroy the world. You know, that's true. But it's like we're coming with him. We ain't here. You know, so we're with him. Anyway. So, we know we have a friend in Jesus who will help us here on this earth. You're going to see this in Hebrews very specifically here on this earth. I'm like, okay, he'll help us in heaven. I'll just plod miserably through this life. No, that's not how it works. I'm going to help you here on this earth. What does the Lord pray? Prayer says, thy kingdom come, thy will be done in heaven. No, in earth. It is in heaven. It's done here. It's done here. What is he telling us? It's done here. The magic, it's done here. See, brothers and sisters, be fearless. We have a friend in Jesus that will never leave us or forsake us. So that's another verse in Hebrews. I'll never leave you. I'll never forsake you. And here's why. Now here's why. He identified with us. We're his children. Here's why he'll always help us. He'll never deny us. Listen closely. Jesus will deny us. Jesus will not deny us because he cannot deny himself. You see where we are? Oh, he'll deny me. He can't. I mean, Wallace, you're really a pain in the backside. I can't deny you because I'd be denying myself because I gave everything for you. I gave everything for you, all right? I died for you. I cleansed you, see? He cannot deny us because he cannot deny himself. And if he denied me, he would deny what he did for me. Now, I'm going to close with this verse, and it's in, we're jumping ahead, and this is the closing verse. Promise. But take everything we talked about. See, you read a verse, and I love this verse. I've quoted this verse. I had the last part memorized. I didn't know the first two chapters, but I had this verse memorized. But this verse comes at the close, because therefore all of this, who Jesus is, what he's done, our understanding of him, because of all of this. All right, now this verse comes. Okay, so we're coming at it now like the Jews did. We have some understanding. Amen? Okay, look here. Hebrews 4:15 through 16. Take this to heart. For we do not have an Old Testament high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses. But Jesus, who in every respect has been tempted as we are. Every respect, just like us, yet without sin. Verse 16. Let us then with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in our time of need. You're immovable. I will never forsake you. You will survive. I will take care of you. You have nothing to worry about. Stop worrying. I am with you. The whole world going to hell in a handbasket, but I am with you. Draw near to the throne of grace and find help from Jesus in our time of need. That's the purpose for the theology. You with me? That's the purpose. We know who Jesus is. Oh, he's just a teacher. Go to a different church. You see what I'm saying? But if it's true, it's like, no, I know what the Lord is doing. I'm not going to follow every human avenue. Right? I'm not going to do it because I know what the Scripture says. I know what God's telling me. And by the way, I don't expect any of you ever to go, well, I'm going to do this because this is what Wallace said. When you stand before heaven, I promise you, God will say, did you pay attention to Wallace? Hell not. He was just like, oh my God, I just can't believe you survived that. But anyway, you're here and made it anyway. See, it's what God told you. Read the Scripture and see what it says. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your word. We thank you for the incredible things you reveal. Lord, the depth of what has been accomplished through Jesus. That Jesus is the perfection that perfected what God intended to do. God, we thank you for that. We thank you that we are forgiven. We thank you we have a home in heaven. And we thank you that you help us now in every situation we face. And Lord, I'm going to add something to the prayer that people that don't know you, but we're here and know you're a God of comfort and things we don't understand. I pray for those poor people that suffered in those plane crashes, those poor, poor people. And Lord, I don't have answers, but I know that you care. I know that you care, and I pray you comfort all. And Lord, we just look to you and ask you to protect all of us in this world and all the things that happen. Our eyes are fixed upon you, and we give thanks to you in the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen.